These are the diseases of civilization that we have also inflicted on our animal and plant neighbors, diseases that we live with because of a refusal to recognize the force that we have harnessed for what it is. The 60-cycle current in our house wiring, the ultrasonic frequencies in our computers, the radio waves in our televisions, the microwaves in our cell phones, these are only distortions of the invisible rainbow that runs through our veins and makes us alive. But we have forgotten. It is time that we remember. Part 1. Chapter 1. Captured in a Bottle. The experiment of Leiden was a craze that was immense, universal. Everywhere you went, people would ask you if you had experienced its effects. The year was 1746. The place, any city in England, France, Germany, Holland, Italy. A few years later, America. Like a child prodigy making his debut, electricity had arrived, and the whole Western world turned out to hear his performance. His midwives, Kleist, Cuneus, Allemand, and Muschenbruch, warned that they had helped give birth to an enfant terrible whose shocks could take away your breath, boil your blood, paralyze you. The public should have listened, been more cautious. But of course, the colorful reports of those scientists only encouraged the crowds. Peter van Muschenbruch, professor of physics at the University of Leiden, had been using his usual friction machine. It was a glass globe that he spun rapidly on its axis while he rubbed it with his hands to produce the electric fluid, what we know today as static electricity. Hanging from the ceiling by silk cords was an iron gun barrel almost touching the globe. It was called the prime conductor and was normally used to draw sparks of static electricity from the rubbed rotating glass sphere. But electricity in those early days was of limited use because it always had to be produced on the spot and there was no way to store it. So Muschenbruch and his associates designed an ingenious experiment, an experiment that changed the world forever. They attached a wire to the other end of the prime conductor and inserted it in a small glass bottle partly filled with water. They wanted to see if the electric fluid could be stored in a jar, and the attempt succeeded beyond their wildest expectations. "I am going to tell you about a new but terrible experiment," Muschenbruch wrote to a friend in Paris, "which I advise you never to try yourself, nor would I, who have experienced it and survived by the grace of God, do it again for all the kingdom of France." He held the bottle in his right hand, and with the other hand he tried to draw sparks from the gun barrel. "Suddenly, my right hand was hit with such force that my whole body shook as though struck by lightning. The glass, although thin, did not break, and my hand was not knocked away, but my arm and whole body were affected more terribly than I can express. In a word, I thought I was done for." His companion in invention, biologist Jean-Nicolas Sébastien Allemand, when he tried the experiment, felt a prodigious blow. "I was so stunned," he said, "that I could not breathe for some moments. The pain along his right arm was so intense that he feared permanent injury." But only half the message registered with the public. The fact that people could be temporarily or, as we will see, permanently injured or even killed by these experiments became lost in the general excitement that followed. Not only lost, but soon ridiculed, disbelieved, and forgotten. Then, as now, it was not socially acceptable to say that electricity was dangerous. Just 2 decades later, Joseph Priestley, the English scientist who is famous for his discovery of oxygen, wrote his History and Present State of Electricity, in which he mocked the cowardly Professor Muschenbruch and the exaggerated accounts of the first experimenters. Its inventors were not the only ones who tried to warn the public. Johann Heinrich Winkler, professor of Greek and Latin at Leipzig, Germany, tried the experiment as soon as he heard about it. "I found great convulsions in my body," he wrote to a friend in London. "It put my blood into great agitation, so that I was afraid of